Welcome to the Frontline Herbalism Podcast with your host, Nicole Rose from the Solidarity Apothecary. This is your place for all things plants and liberation. Let's get started. Hello, welcome back to the Frontline Herbalism Podcast. I'm sorry to not put out an episode last week. Unfortunately, I was unwell and baby boy was unwell. And yeah, it wasn't very fun. There's some sort of like gnarly vomiting kind of bug going around. Which, yeah, wasn't fun and really reminded me of being pregnant and 6 months of horrific vomiting and dehydration. It's like a condition called hyperemesis, which is like a genetic effect in pregnancy that affects some people. And oh my God, it was awful. Anyway, I'm feeling loads better now and it's nice to be back recording the podcast. So yeah, I had obviously a little series diving into different kind of nervous system states like fight, flight and freeze and shutdown. And I just wanted to continue a few more episodes about herbal support through repression, which was the kind of theme of this series. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to do any interviews yet. I'm kind of, up to my fucking eyeballs preparing for my best friend's inquest, Taylor, who killed himself in prison. We've got 3-week inquest coming up in November. And as usual, solicitors do everything kind of last minute. So it's just been like very intense, like writing my witness statement about what happened and about his life and reading other people's paperwork and the disclosure. And yeah, it's like fucking gnarly. And I've only got a few hours a week of childcare. So yeah, it's been a lot. But talking of inquests and court cases, I wanted today to talk about kind of herbal support through court cases. But I'm going to talk about the, you know, like how a court case feels for a lot of people and what's going on and why they can be so challenging. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about herbal support. And I will kind of say some similar things to the herbal care packages episodes where I talk about the care packages I send out with the Solidarity Apothecary and why I've chosen certain blends and things. So there's a little bit of crossover. So please check out those episodes too. For a little bit more context. But yeah, let's dive into herbal support for court cases. All right, so I guess it's worth naming that when I'm referencing things and personal experiences and stuff, it's from this kind of like England, Wales context. You know, I have done sort of defendant support with people like all over the world, like different anti-repression kind of cases and solidarity stuff. But I mean, like in terms of actual sitting in a courtroom with someone in terms of that level of support and going through that shit myself, like I am talking about this kind of English, Welsh context. But yeah, I guess it's not like unimaginable for people to hear that court cases are extremely stressful. And I know that sounds really obvious, but I'm just going to run through some of the reasons that make it so stressful that maybe people haven't like necessarily always thought about, you know, when a loved one is like going through a court case and stuff. So obviously, like, you're constantly thinking about the kind of outcomes of a sentence. And I'm talking here if you're going through a trial where you've pleaded not guilty and then you're in the kind of like theater of fucking trying to prove that you're not guilty and having things like witnesses and evidence and all of this shit to kind of, yeah, then be decided by a jury if you're kind of innocent or guilty. But there are like a whole spectrum of different kinds of court cases, right? Like there's also the magistrate's court where there isn't a jury, where the kind of magistrate, like the judge, is making those decisions. And then, you know, there's things like different courtrooms for people in detention, for example, or, you know, even like a mini court in the prison when you get in trouble and you get put in front of a governor. Like there's so many different contexts of court cases. But I guess I'm kind of like talking here about how it feels when you're kind of like not fighting for your life, but you're fighting for the kind of consequences of your court case, if that makes sense. And even, you know, just going to court, even if you have pled guilty,
and then you're like imminently about to be sentenced, like that's also a really fucking stressful thing. And it might be more short term than a court case that takes several days or weeks or even months. But yeah, I guess to preface, I'm talking about people that are like on trial. And yeah, I've done a lot of like defendant support with like quote unquote like non-political people. But I've also supported a lot of people who are going through the courts because of like their kind of like political organizing or work towards liberation in some way. So yeah, so anyway, like even if someone is not facing a custodial sentence, custodial meaning going to prison, or they're facing like a short prison sentence, it is like enormously fucking stressful to not have control of your life, to not have certainty over what's going to happen to you and what impact that's going to have. So I just want to name that even if you're not on trial for something quote unquote serious, it's still wildly unpredictable. Like I've seen people get sent down after they've been told by solicitors that there's no fucking way they would go to prison for something like this. And they've become the kind of test case of someone that's got a custodial sentence, for example. I've seen people who've been told they're looking at 12 months get 5 years in prison, you know, like I've seen people that are looking at a really long time that have got much less, like, you know, ultimately, like you are not in fucking control of your life. And that is what's really stressful. I mean, God, are any of us in control of our lives in terms of like fate and all this fucking systemic shit? But you know what I mean? Like in a court case, ultimately, that power is taken away from you. And that is what can make this shit like highly stressful and highly traumatic for people. And you know, sometimes there's this kind of like macho culture of, oh, they've only got like this long inside, or, you know, oh, I did longer or whatever. Like there's this fucking like macho hierarchy. But like, in my experience, like even really short sentences can be really fucking disruptive and traumatic. And actually trigger warning here, but like lots of people get sent down for very short amounts of time and actually kill themselves because those first few days in prison are enormously stressful for the body and for that person. And there's this kind of like short, sharp shock thing where, you know, say you're doing a slightly longer time in prison, like I was in just under 2 years. It did give me a lot of time to kind of like adapt and develop my own little systems and rituals and routines. Whereas if you just like bounce in for a couple of weeks and then get out, like you don't always have time for your nervous system to kind of like integrate what's happening. Does that make sense? And also, I guess another scary factor is like you can go in and then you can fear gate arrest, or you can, you know, gate arrest is when, you know, you're getting out of prison and you're arrested on something different, or sometimes you don't even get to the gate, like, you know, the police come into the prison and arrest you for another charge. So it's like, even if you're in and you're pretty confident you're getting out, there's never that like quite certainty, which makes being in prison for any amount of time quite, you know, frightening. So yeah, I just want to say that like even quote unquote short sentences can be really hardcore for people, and also just like disruptive in ways that create kind of like further chronic stress. So for example, someone might have waited months or years for access to kind of like social housing or a room somewhere, or, you know, a home for them and their children, and then get sent down and lose that. So, you know, prisons like really fucking contribute to like cycles of like homelessness and houselessness and precarious housing. Someone might be in a place where they've like finally got access to like mental health support and then lose that. You know, like anyone that's been anywhere near shit like universal credit knows it's like enormously fucking stressful to have any change in circumstance that you have to report. You know, that can instantly stop someone's benefits. Someone might have spent half a decade fighting to get PIP, like personal independent payments, because of chronic illness or disability. And then because of the change of circumstance of them getting a short sentence, might fucking lose that, you know? So yeah, like any sentence can be extremely disruptive. It's, you know, it's worth naming that people, you know, can lose their fucking children. Like children can get taken off people, can get put in care. That can be like fucking traumatic for children and parents. You know, I'm not saying that's not always like a necessary thing to do if a child is like experiencing abuse or neglect, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, it's really fucking disruptive and harmful when, you know, when people get sent down. So, you know, and then obviously if you are looking at a longer sentence, it is really fucking threatening to the body. You know, like I got 3.5 years, but I spent 2 years on bail thinking that I could get 14 years in prison because I'd seen 3 people from this guinea pig farm campaign get 14 years in prison for conspiracy to blackmail. And so, yeah, even if you get a shorter amount of time, which feels like a huge relief, you will have potentially spent months or years, and it's really becoming years now with, you know, the delays in the courts and stuff. You've really spent a long fucking time thinking you're getting a really long time in prison, and that, you know, kind of overhangs the body like so much, like it influences like every decision you make about your life. Like, will you get a tenancy? Will you get into this relationship? Will you start this course? Will you apply for this job? Will you start this campaign? Like all of this shit. So yeah, it's very kind of like high stakes. And yeah, like I think I just want to name that. Yeah, like there can be this like culture in social movements of like court is a bit of like a fanfare or a bit of a joke. But like, I don't know, like anyone that's like kind of able to be like emotionally vulnerable enough to actually open up about how they're feeling, which I feel like is something that people do with me a lot, it will like just reaffirm to me like how kind of challenging and traumatic this stuff can be. And it does give me a lot of despair and depression when we have movement cultures that are just encouraging people to get arrested without potentially thinking about the consequences or minimizing the consequences or even downright lying to people saying that there won't be consequences. Yeah, so which a lot of the kind of like bigger campaigns can do when they're sort of trying to recruit people to do actions and things. So and that's a whole other fucking episode. But yeah, I just want to be that one person in the room that's saying like this shit like affects people and can traumatize people and cause like chronic health issues and all of these things. And yeah, like just fucking avoid prison if you can, basically try and get away with shit and don't volunteer yourself for this kind of like repressive apparatus. Anyway, okay, so yeah, what else is going on in court cases? So I think it's really important to name that a courtroom is meant to feel fucking intimidating. Like, unless you're from that kind of like elite of people who have grown up in the kind of like ruling classes where it's very normal for people to be barristers or solicitors or judges or magistrates, it is going to feel alienating and not your world, not your language, not your class. And it's going to make people feel stupid and small and powerless. And, you know, like the system unfortunately treats people like you're a piece of fucking shit if you come from like a working class background. So yeah, courts definitely give that feeling for people. And yeah, you know, there's like so much exclusion on so many levels. Like maybe it's language, maybe it's like lack of affinity with sort of your legal teams, like not having like quote unquote good representation. You know, maybe you've just got like a shit duty solicitor that really doesn't give a fuck if you go to prison, that puts no effort into your case, that doesn't communicate with you. And ultimately, I think the things with court cases is that like it is your like destiny and your life and has all these like life-changing effects. But for other people, it just feels like fucking bureaucratic. Like it's just a day for them in their job. Like it's just normal for them to take someone downstairs in handcuffs or witness another defendant get sent to prison. Or, you know, like a judge can just be like, yep, I'll give you this many days. And they're not the one like sitting in a fucking cage at the end of the day, like away from people they love, feeling like inherently fucking unsafe. For, you know, like a crime that's probably like to do with fucking lifestyle and poverty. Anyway, but I'm just saying like they are created to make you feel that you don't fit in and ultimately you don't fit in. And unfortunately, like I think there can be this like class divide between like activist-y organizer types, between folks who maybe do fit in, you know, maybe they've studied law, maybe they've got a fucking PhD in whatever, and they, you know, like some people get really fucking turned on by this shit, by legal language, by finding evidence and reading statements, and it makes them feel like a fucking, you know, solicitor on TV or whatever. So it's like, you know, and I'm not saying we don't need comrades that have these skills, like we really fucking do. But I'm just saying, like, for most people, it feels alienating and intimidating. But for some people, it is interesting and fascinating and pleasurable. And, you know, they go on to like become fucking legal assistants and all of this shit because they've like enjoyed the kind of like court case stuff. It's not my fucking arena. Like, I'm not that person, but I know for some people it is. So that's a factor. I mean, the other factor is you're just inherently feeling judged, right? Like, there's this sensation of kind of like performance anxiety, like being cross-examined. I've never had to go through that myself, but I've witnessed it 101 times. It's fucking intimidating. You know, like, the person asking you questions is like an intellectual fucking bulldog. Like, you feel like threatened by them. You go into fight or flight. You muddle your words. You know, like, some people do really well on the stand, but most people, it's a very stressful experience where you feel scrutinized and judged. And ultimately, you are being judged, right? You're being judged by the jury. You're being judged by the judge. You know, so yeah, it's a lot for someone. And so, yeah, that kind of brings me on to the solidarity stuff of like how, if we know these threads of what makes a court case like intimidating and frightening and difficult, like how can we respond to that? And I think one of the critical parts is like not feeling alone, right? Because a large element of what makes experiences more traumatic is feeling unsupported. Like, it's very different. For example, someone who has a car accident and is left on the side of the road alone, like, you know, say it's the middle of the night and no one's witnessed it and they're waiting for an ambulance, like, it's very fucking traumatic. That person is much more likely to develop PTSD because they're alone than someone who has an accident and then a bystander comes in and soothes them and strokes their face and calls the ambulance and, like, you know, maybe they have a nice ambulance driver who's loving and warm. Like, all of that will mitigate whether someone develops PTSD. And I really think it's the case with anti-repression work. Like, if people have like a strong support group, they're much more likely to, like, much less likely to be traumatized by that experience. Which is why like court support and stuff is really, really important, like turning up at court with people or, you know, demonstrations if you want them. Just like not feeling alone, I think is important. And in terms of like our nervous system, obviously people are going to be in fight or flight because this experience is kind of, yeah, life-changing and the stakes are high for most people. So, you know, understandably, you're going to be in kind of fight or flight. Or if, you know, you're quite adapted to chronic stress, you might be in a more like functional freeze where you feel like you're fine because maybe it's like familiar or, you know, you're very good in those sorts of situations because you've had to be in like survival mode your whole life. But for me as a herbalist, like, I'm always thinking, how can we tone down that nervous system activation so that someone can be as much as possible in a more like safe and social state, because A, it's like less traumatic and stressful for someone, but B, it enables someone to think more clearly and to make better decisions and to be less reactive, you know, where you're like fucking kicking off in the courtroom and stuff, like, you know, which like can be a necessary part of resistance sometimes. But I just mean in the sense of like, if you're kind of having to play the game and make a certain impression to the jury and all of this bullshit, like, you do need to like have a level head on you to kind of, you know, come across well and to fight your corner and stuff. And if you're in like high levels of anxiety, fight or flight, like, that's going to be more difficult. So that's why I love to support people with like Nervine relaxants, because it's just going to be toning down that anxiety and that activation so that someone like is a bit more, yeah, just a bit more functional. And I think, yeah, when you have that edge of stress taken off, you get the clearer focused thinking. Like, I love plants like lemon balm for this, for example. It's really common for stress, obviously, to affect our digestive systems, which is why in court cases, people are just like constantly needing to go to the toilet. And when your nervous system is in like sympathetic, it will make you want to like urinate more, basically. So that's quite difficult for people. So yeah, things like chamomile or lemon balm can just take the edge off those kind of like guts that are going bad, if that makes sense. And also, I hate to say it, but if someone gets sent down, you know, it's very difficult being in a cell underneath the court or being in a sweat box, like being in the van and needing the fucking toilet. So if you have some like herbal support around that beforehand, I think that's like helpful. So sort of gentle, like I include like a nervous system soother blend, which has like lemon balm and hawthorn and chamomile, which I think is really nice to kind of like take the edge off. And I'm not just talking about defendants, right? I'm also talking about loved ones and close people and anyone in that court case. Like it's also traumatic to watch someone get sent to prison, for example, or to have to go through all this shit. And if you're doing like defendant solidarity, like you might be the person that really needs that clear head. You know, you might be taking notes and, you know, tracking details and what's going on in a way that will really help that person in the coming days or weeks with their case. So yeah, having that kind of clear thinking is really important. So the thing about court cases, especially political court cases, is that they can really take like several weeks. And when something is going on that long and you're in fight or flight like day after day after day, it's no fucking good, right? For developing things like coughs and colds. You know, court cases are often like people generally have to stay away from home somewhere, or they have to travel far in the morning. And if you have to travel to court, then you're like panicked about being late. You know, or maybe even someone is like already remanded in prison, in which case it's a fucking shit show getting to reception in the morning and getting taken to court and stuff. And I know you won't have the same herbal support that you would on the outside. But yeah, like I think one of the things when someone is in that like chronic stress response that goes wonky is sleep, right? Like sleep is really commonly disturbed. And I keep meaning to do some more episodes about sleep, but as much support you can get around getting good quality sleep is fucking critical and is probably like my main priority as a herbalist with defendant support. So that's why I make this like heavenly lavender oil with olive oil from Palestine, because, you know, if someone like the difference between 4 hours of shit sleep where you're too fucking stressed to even sleep and you go to sleep at 2 a.m. and you're up at 6, whatever, like the difference between that and 8 hours of like high quality sleep, sorry, my dog's snoring, where, you know, you actually feel like a human being who can string sentences together, like that is really like a huge difference. And I think if you are the person that, you know, is getting cross-examined or you really have to use that kind of like cognitive stuff, then like sleep is really important. So when someone is in like fight or flight for a lot of the daytime, it can obviously be very difficult for them to just kind of like easily fall asleep. And you wouldn't have had that like rest and digest time in the day, right? You wouldn't have had a bit of time to just like fucking sit on a bench and scroll your phone or go for a walk in the park or have a nice cup of tea with a mate. So those evenings are like so critical. And unfortunately, in the evenings, you're often doing prep for the next day. But one of the mixes I include in the anti-repression care packages is like a de-stress tea for the evening. And that contains like a bit of skullcap, chamomile, lavender, and some rose petals. And again, it's like so critical because it can help someone move into that like parasympathetic rest and digest state, which means they're like, you know, digestion's going to be better, which means they've got more like nourishment and nutrition to help them, you know, prevent getting further, you know, colds and things. It just means they're like way more likely to sleep well. So that evening support is critical, I think, which is why I love these teas, just to give that body a chance to kind of, you know, process the day. And the other thing with like long or even short sentences is like chronic stress affects our immune system, right? And we are at risk of colds and respiratory infections. And, you know, courtrooms are not a fucking safe place in terms of COVID, right? Like people generally not masking, like there's lots of people in a small room or, you know, or a big room. So yeah, you're really at risk. And, you know, they're all like, most courtrooms are in fucking towns and cities. So you've got all this public transport stuff. So yeah, any immune support is really, really helpful, which is why I include like an immune tonic that contains like echinacea, elderberry, thyme, ginger, turmeric, just again, to give that immune system a bit of fucking support so you're not getting sick. Because again, if you get really sick during a court case, you're not going to be kind of like functioning optimally to kind of like fight for your fucking freedom, right? And also like you don't want to land in prison like really fucking unwell, because that's like no fun for anyone. And then the other aspect I've included is kind of just like help for the like emotional heart. You know, like I've talked about all the chronic stress involved, but there's often a lot of like fucking like grief, you know, like people, you know, will have had probably big life changes if they're gonna potentially like undertake a custodial sentence. Like there's a lot of like fear around like relationships and will I keep my job and all of this stuff. So yeah, I just like to kind of give emotional support for that like fear. So things like rose and hawthorn, for example, are just absolute plant babes for that stuff. And yeah, like I guess, so yeah, so I think all of these things like supporting your sleep, supporting your nervous system, supporting your immune system, and then just general political solidarity, not feeling alone, feeling prepared, feeling well-resourced. Like imagine if every fucking working class person that was being faced with a sentence for something class-related, you know, like not paying their fucking TV license or having to steal food or steal a mobile phone or whatever, or, you know, do kind of crime to sustain like, you know, addiction. Like imagine if everyone that was facing, you know, the kind of sharp end of state violence had this kind of support, right? Like I do think it would be a different system. I mean, all of this is kind of like not sticking plaster stuff, but obviously I want us to be, you know, fighting the fucking fight and fighting to eradicate these systems. But ultimately, like until we've like fucking abolished the state, people are going to be in fucking court, right? And the more militant liberation struggles get, the more fucking repression we're going to be getting. So the more and more people are going to be going through these experiences, which is why it's really important to have like strong prisoner support and defendant support movements. And yeah, I just want to make sure that we're also taking care of our bodies because they are the ones like, you know, experiencing the impacts of this state violence. And finally, like my tattoo sleeve that I got before prison says like never alone, and there's like a fox and an owl and like, you know, roses and stuff in this like old school style. But like the reason I got that was because I wanted to go into prison with defiance in my heart that non-human kin and our ecosystems and nature and the land like is more fucking powerful than these human-made systems. Like we are fucking stronger. Like the state will have a lot of fucking power and can ruin our fucking lives. They can raid us, they can arrest us, they can torture us, they can put us in fucking prison, they can kill our fucking friends in prison. But ultimately, like, they're still fucking insignificant. Like, if you think of the like hundreds of thousands of millions of years of evolution and how powerful the land is, like, yeah, and that, you know, plants and animals and non-humans are like ultimately on our fucking side. Like, I think it is nice tapping into that energy and feeling that fucking power. Like when you're in a courtroom of like, actually you are on the stronger side. Like, even though these human-made systems have more power over you in this moment, if you are someone who is fucking fighting back, like who is fighting for earth liberation, animal liberation, human liberation, like you can connect with that strength of non-humans and the land and all your fucking ancestors who've been fighting, you know, injustice for generations. So yeah, I just love to go in with that feeling, and that's how I'm planning to get through my best friend's inquest, is just remembering how fucking small this shit is compared to like the fucking oceans and the atmosphere and the fucking galaxies. And that's, yeah, that's how I cope with it. I tried so hard to find this example, but I couldn't fucking find it online, and I just saw it on social media somewhere years ago, but it was this example, and I'm probably quoting it wrong. I think some like Indigenous land defenders were in court in like so-called Canada or somewhere, or maybe the so-called US, and their sentencing got sabotaged because like an eagle or some, or a stork or like some bird's nest brought down the power line like at court, and that bird had like a particular relationship with that group of people. And yeah, it was just this like beautiful defiance of like kind of nature fighting back, and I just fucking loved that, and I wish I could find like that. If you know it, like please hit me up, because it was amazing. But yeah, hopefully, you know, like animals and birds and everything else could bring down all the fucking courtrooms. But I just thought it was like a really beautiful example of, yeah, kind of our non-human kin and solidarity from them. So if you are facing a court case, please like feel free to request one of my herbal care packages that I send out to folks for free. I don't want people experiencing repression alone. And, you know, I talk about all of this stuff in my herbalism and state violence book. So please check that out. And yeah, I will be back soon. Okay, thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to the Frontline Herbalism podcast. You can find the transcript, the links, all the resources from the show at solidarityapothecary.org/podcast.